Culture. You're tuned in to Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. We are the campus community radio station broadcasting from Burnaby Mountain at Simon Fraser University. We respectfully acknowledge that we broadcast on unceded, occupied territories of the Coast Salish Nations, of the unceded, occupied territories of the Squamish, Musqueam, Tsleil-Waututh, and Coquitlam Nations. We stream online at cjsf.ca. There you can check out archived episodes of Typically Tuesdays and your other favorite CJSF programs. You can also follow CJSF online on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, SoundCloud, and YouTube by looking up CJSF Radio. My name is Leslie.
And I'm Jade.
Happy Pride? I don't know.
Happy Pride.
Yeah, I guess.
I think. I mean, like, it's almost the end of June, but we have, like, 3 days of Pride left.
Yes, we have three days or so of Pride left, and then... Also in Vancouver, we traditionally celebrate Pride in August.
Yes. The hottest month of the year.
That's right. Hot, flaming, flamboyant queerness. I don't know. I don't freaking know. Yeah. It's, I don't really know if it's appropriate to say that this is like a special episode or anything like that, but it's definitely one wherein we're, like, experimenting with something.
Yes.
Yeah. How have you been?
I've been good. I have been trying to revive my sourdough starter for the past few days, and I think I am successful. He is very much alive. My beautiful boy, Bun Jun Do.
Yeah?
Yeah. That's all I have to say.
Good to know. Good for you. Here's the state of me. I found this out a while ago, but I kept forgetting about it, and maybe that's also an indicator of something. I found out that the brand Mugler, like perfume or clothes, like, I actually don't know what it is.
Thierry Mugler.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah. Mugler. I found out that it's spelt in a way that makes me, a person who's not familiar with French, read it as Mugler. And so I've been reading Mugler as Mugler for 23 years. That's not true. Maybe like 17 years. I'm not a super baby.
Would you? I am a super baby, but just not that kind of super baby.
No.
Would you care to give Mr. Thierry Mugler an apology on air?
I'm sorry, Mr. Mugler, that I read your name as Mugler for so long. Should I? Yeah. You know what? Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm not gonna take that back. I'm sorry.
Well, oh, wow. I'm sure he'll accept your apology.
I mean, I sure hope so, because it was super heartfelt.
Is he still alive?
Yeah, he's still kicking.
He's still, like, a kicking dude. Let's see.
He's, like, 70.
I thought it was, like a Dior deal, where, like, the guy died in, like, 1940.
Today, we are doing an episode about Pride and about the Stonewall riots, or the Stonewall uprisings, or the Stonewall protests, however you want to refer to it. And we're going to be kind of deconstructing this idea and kind of like the canonization of Stonewall in sort of the queer history lexicon. We're also going to be announcing a project that we're going to be launching today during this
right
broadcast.
Now, yeah, when you're listening to it.
Yes, during this broadcast on June 29th, and we hope that our listeners will be able to participate, because we're trying to make it into almost like a community engagement activity. It sounds like a senior center and community engagement activity. Yeah.
Sounds like a Kickstarter project. where they just reinvent community centers. Like something that Elon Musk would propose.
I would hope that that would be the complete opposite. I mean, we are community radio after all. We're not allowed to accept funds. what is the playlist for today that we have happening?
Today? Pretty chill playlist. It's the Pride playlist. Mostly Canadian queer musicians. I think like 90% Canadian with one cool American person. Some pretty chill songs. There's some R&B, lots of indie and folk, some synthy poppy stuff, some rock. It'd be good.
Would you like to introduce the first song?
Yeah, so start you guys off. This is by Pierre Quenders, who we played in the past, Badalite.
Nangai Olingi kolia na pesi biloko 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 Olingi kovanda vandela yango vandela 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 yango Bonbon ko jake mobali kitoko 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 Senga ikiti o vandela yango vandela 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 yango Soki olingi yango yaka soki otonda kite songa Kwange peli lelo yaka soki olingi yango zonga Olingi yango yaka soki otonda kite songa Olingi yango zonga soki otonda kite yaka Biloko, 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 biloko Kitoko, 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 kitoko Vandela, vandela, vandela yango Biloko, 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 kitoko
Believe They say Paris is dead. Lived through London, drank through Memphis. The things you live by were once just a guess. And there ain't no glory in the West. No, there ain't no glory in the West. Hard to think on your feet. Tired of begging them just to compete. Shoot to win can feel so bittersweet. But you take what you can get. 'Cause there ain't no glory in the West. Blazing on ahead, burning through it, coming down the bend. Nowhere left to go, going's all we know. Riding past the best, and there's still no rest, and there's still. What's a boy to do? Hit the road with a dollar or two. Haunted by what he knows he can't do. Gets it off his chest. 'Cause there ain't no glory. Burning on ahead, blazing through it, running blind again. Nowhere left to go, going's all we know. Riding past the best, and there's still no rest, and there's still. Blessings, they'll say. And after each midnight begins a new day. But don't place your bets on a word that they say. They'll put your life to rest. 'Cause there ain't no glory in the West. No, there ain't no glory in the West. There ain't no glory in the West.
This is Bird Note. Have you ever watched a baby bird peck its way out of its shell? The determination to break through is astounding. Now imagine two famous composers writing and orchestrating a piece that reflects that desire to be born. Inspired by a talented friend's painting called Ballet of the Unhatched Chicks, Russian composer Modest Mussorgsky wrote a piano piece as part of his famous work Pictures at an Exhibition. The composition was later orchestrated by Maurice Ravel. Listen as instrumental colors from the orchestra enhance the pecking rhythms, the scurrying tempos, high-pitched peeping sounds, and the baby bird's eventual freedom. Isn't it amazing how music can so beautifully interpret this emergence of life? You can watch baby birds hatching on our website, birdnote.org.
Welcome back to Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. My name is Leslie.
I'm Jade.
You just heard VVV, They Lie by Pantayo. Yep, that's the name. And then before that you heard No Glory in the West by Orville Peck, who is a friend of the show. I don't know. I think we play him often.
Yeah, I think it's a pretty one-sided friendship. I feel like unless he listens to the show, we can't really say that he's a friend of the show.
Hi, Orville. Big fan.
Hey, if you're listening, text in.
Today's episode of Typically Tuesdays, we are kind of deconstructing the canonization. An idea is around how people think about the Stonewall riots, or the Stonewall uprisings, or whatnot, that famously occurred on the evening of June 27th, 1969 in New York, at a bar called the Stonewall Inn. So the Stonewall riots occurred on that day because there was a police raid. Now, police raids happening at bars and kind of social places where mostly queer people gathered were not unfamiliar occurrence in the 1960s and the late 1960s. Happened very often, but during this particular raid, what was different was that people fought back in kind of like a more assertive way, and this event ended up becoming memorialized, basically. I think that's kind of like the surrounding,
the gist.
Yeah. It's commonly understood by a lot of people that it was sex working transgender women of color who were leading the retaliation. It's also commonly understood that there was a brick that was thrown. It's also thought of sometimes to be the moment that sparked the queer rights movement, period. And today we're here to tell you that we don't actually know if anything is true of any of those statements. Yeah. That's it.
That's the show. We just don't know if it's true.
It's over. Bye. So I'm pretty excited to talk about the Stonewall riots because there's such an interesting canon around it, I find.
Yeah.
So I think maybe the first thing that we could discuss is this idea that it's understood to be like the very first thing that sparks and starts the contemporary queer rights movement, because that's not true. It's contested, but it's not really, it's not true. If we were to really think about what could have started the queer rights movement in particularly in the West, a journalist, Eric Marcus, would say, like, we would have to go back to Germany in the late 1800s, early 1900s, with Magnus Hirschfeld's work. Magnus Hirschfeld was a sexologist who opened up, like, this institution about sexology and sexuality and sex and all of these things. But he was also a very vocal advocate around the idea that just because you are queer doesn't necessarily mean that's a bad thing. And he was a big advocate of having queer people's rights to be queer protected under the name of law.
So even if we're talking about, like, physical protests and uprisings, there were a few that preceded Stonewall by a couple of years in the 60s. One of them, I think, is known as the Black Cat Protest. Is that the one? Is that what it's called?
I think so.
So yeah, in the 60s, in 1967, there was a protest at a bar called the Black Cat Tavern in Los Angeles. due to a police raid. And that was kind of a series that launched a series of large demonstrations around the Black Cat and sort of signaled the rise of a militant West Coast protest movement that informed young gay people across the country.
Mm-hmm. And so that happened 2 years before Stonewall, yes. Or before the Stonewall riots, but that's not necessarily the one that we celebrate. And as mentioned before, police raids at gay bars were not like, they were not like a rare occurrence. They happened quite often. What makes the difference about Stonewall is that right after the riots, pretty much like the day after, activists in New York who were already established in what was known as the homophile movement, they really put in the work to make sure that people remembered what happened. So, for example, Martha Shelley helped organize like a march on the very next day. I think it was shortly after that there were a lot of other groups that started popping up, like the Gay Liberation Front, the Gay Activist Alliance, and groups like that. They organized in the following year to have a march to commemorate the Stonewall riots, and it was called the Christopher Street Parade, I think.
Yes, well, that's the Christopher Street Parade is a thing, so I assume that's the thing you mean. I think it's interesting, like, to kind of discuss or maybe just explore what made Stonewall so special.
Mm-hmm.
Because with the other protests preceding it, the press paid very little attention.
Right. The press paid little attention to it, and from what I understand, having like listened to a lot of like gay history podcasts, reading up on queer history and things like that, is that the activists who were already on the ground at that time in like places like Los Angeles or like other places where retaliation of police raids happened, was that in New York there was just already like a huge bustling activist movement, and they weren't always doing things together, and they weren't always organizing together. But with the Stonewall uprisings, they really saw it as an opportunity to memorialize it. One of the things that I think we'll get into a little bit later about how people kind of discuss Stonewall and how we memorialize it now is this idea that the very first Pride was a riot. And that's actually not true. The very first Pride was actually a parade. Stonewall was the riot. The Pride event itself was a march. It was like a very... It was like an event that was even negotiated with the police, with like the local police, to make sure like cops wouldn't shut down the entire event. It was not a riot in any sense of the word.
Yeah, and I think even like this conflation of Stonewall as the very first Pride event kind of like does a disservice to a lot of the very militant demonstrations and protests and activism done by queer people prior to Stonewall, because it was really the straw that broke the camel's back rather than the one giant thing that did something, right? Mm-hmm. And also by conflating Stonewall as the first Pride event, I think it unnecessarily sanitizes Stonewall into, I don't know, into a series of palatable slogans, you can say, instead of an extremely messy uprising that happened over several nights.
Mm-hmm. I think in a way it can be, if we look back at what you said and really think about how that event is conflated to what we might think of as a quote-unquote very first Pride event, we don't just risk being ahistorical, we are ahistorical.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And as a result, it apoliticizes this occurrence that many people understand was political, but they might lose sight of the fact that a lot of things were leading up to it.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah. Like the name really is quite symbolic. Stone, like they really like up until that moment, people really were queer activists were really like building up onto a stonewall.
Metaphor. Right? Yes.
Metaphor.
Mm-hmm. Metaphor, allegory. We're out here with a brain.
I mean, we have talked about this too. Like the like I wonder how much the actual name Stonewall played in Stonewall's memorialization. Because if you imagine it happening at any of the other bars that police raided with names like the Black Cat Tavern or what, Snake Pit, or what's the other one?
Compton's?
Compton's, just it would be very, I mean, it would be great to say we're going to celebrate the 50th anniversary of the Snake Pit riots. I would love that, but I'm not sure if it would have gotten as much attention as the Stonewall riots.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just not enough pizzazz. We're going to be too much pizzazz. I don't know.
Yeah, it's, as we said before, too sexy.
It's too sexy.
Yeah. Yeah, and the palatability of Stonewall, maybe. As you say, like, these other names are like, I don't know, a little bit flamboyant. Like, can you imagine just not even like the Black Cat or the Snake Pit? It's like, we're celebrating this year the 51st anniversary of Hamburger Mary's, you know?
Right, yeah. Like,
I don't think a lot of people...
It just wouldn't work.
Yeah.
In, like, a sad homophobic way, but yeah. it just straight up wouldn't work. Mm-hmm. Right? It would be too gay. It's like, oh, well, it's Stonewall. It sounds, you know, like, really, like, respectable and, like, respectable, but oh, the Snake Pit riots, you know?
That's a whole different establishment over there. They do other things there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would agree with that. I think we should move on to a little bit of music. Here's Mellow by Biawana.
Body is starving to feel the touch of your skin. When I'm without you, I feel like I'm drowning. I didn't know what love was till I tasted you. If love's a battlefield, I'd die for you. What will it take to get you out of my head? How will I know I'm the one that you want? Am I the one that you need? I've second-guessed everything that I do. I've never second-guessed being with you. My body is starving to feel the touch of your skin. When I'm without you, I feel like I'm drowning. I didn't know what love was till I tasted you. If love's a battlefield, I'd die for you. You're like the melody to my heartbeat, mellow. My world is on fire, but with you I'm alright. I've lost all ambition for fame and recognition. I just wanna be the center of your attention. You're like the mellow melody to my heartbeat, mellow melody to my heartbeat, mellow melody to my heartbeat, mellow.
CJSF 90.1 FM is the campus radio station for Simon Fraser University, located on Burnaby Mountain in BC, Canada. As a campus and community station, CJSF strives to provide points of view that are rarely expressed on mainstream media. This includes music that is not the top 40 and news you will not find on the big media outlets. CJSF 90.1 FM. Diverse, independent, yours. Check us out on SoundCloud or at cjsf.ca. Just a bend in time. And how does it feel to get
up? Welcome back to Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. My name is Leslie.
And I'm Jade.
We're breaking down the canon of the Stonewall riots in queer history, popular queer history today, and then later on we're going to be announcing the launching of a project that we hope that our listeners can get involved with. But for now, let's talk about Stonewall. So we just left off at this idea that the name Stonewall itself allows for the event to be more fondly commemorated, I guess.
It lends to the optics of the event.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think I would agree agree with that. It because Stoneball sounds cool.
Right? You know? Yeah. It sounds like a castle.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure it is a castle somewhere.
Made of stones, perhaps. Maybe not.
Perhaps.
Perhaps.
Perhaps of rocks, even.
Yeah, I think that having that, like, calling this event that name is also important. I mean, like, they could have called it, like, the June 27th uprisings also. And we could have been commemorating the June 27th uprisings instead of the Stonewall Uprising.
That would be a terrible mouthful.
Oh, yeah. You cannot give that a shorthand. But you also can't really, like, put the event to a place and then remember the place as, like, this kind of, like, a protected site or, like, a historical site. One thing that I guess, like, I really grapple with and I, like, really am interested about is that in places that are not New York, like in Vancouver, for example, sometimes when we have, like a queer pride related thing, like an event or like or if like we're commemorating the history of Vancouver's own kind of like queer activism, people still like say it's like the Stonewall of Vancouver. It was like the Stonewall riots of Vancouver. Or I remember doing a research for this project a while back, and it was somebody who sat, I think, as a member of the Vancouver City Councilors, who was the first out lesbian councilor, said that in the early 2000s they held an event, kind of like celebrating the indictment. I don't know. Of these two new city councilors who are both openly gay, and they called it Vancouver's Stonewall event or something.
What?
It just, that's in a completely different area code on the other side of the continent, y'all. I don't know. I find that part to be interesting, and I understand it. At least, here's what I think. I understand it to the Stonewall riots have been canonized so intensely that it is like, it is like the thing that like brings queer people together when we think about what is our history, which I don't think is an awful thing. I just question what happens after.
Yeah, I did say this before, but I do think that canonizing Stonewall as the first queer activism or protest moment does a lot of disservice to the many movements that preceded it. So, I mean... I think even within the queer community, the idea of queer history is still kind of like, okay, first there's Stonewall, and then, oh, like, there's the AIDS crisis, and then gay people can get married. And those are, like, the three defining events.
Mm-hmm.
I think it does a lot of disservice to just other really important protest movements.
I agree with that, and I think it really allows for, like, it really allows for corporations and
the
state to, like, co-opt the movement for queer lives.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, in what ways?
I remember it last year, when it was Stonewall 50. I was at work and I needed to use Google to look something up, and Google had like a Google Doodle that commemorated the Stonewall riots and went through the decades of like the 50s, oh my god, the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, 1000s, and then 2019. And I don't know, I remember looking at this imagery and being kind of flummoxed, or being kind of like confused as to why it seemed to conflate the uprisings to like only marriage equality, or like the uprisings to pride parades, for example. Because I don't necessarily think that there is no connotation there, but I think it misses the point about what Stonewall, the uprising was, because it was anti-police. It was anti-capitalist. It was anti-homophobia and transphobia. So it doesn't... I didn't think that the Google Doodle contributed to this discussion about the memorialization of Stonewall in a way that stuck to what very little of we know of the facts, I guess.
Yeah, you know, I think it's really interesting how Stonewall has been mythologized and also commemorated almost as like a series of slogans. And, you know, people saying the first pride was a riot, and then saying X through the first stone in Stonewall, and slogans like that. I think it's interesting that that the first pride was a riot has become such a popular slogan without addressing what it was a riot against.
Mm-hmm.
Because even I think for me, when I first found out about Stonewall and I knew that it was a riot, I didn't know it was a riot against police brutality. I thought it was like a riot against homophobic bar patrons or something like that.
Yeah, I agree. I think for me, I didn't know, and I didn't realize that the riot itself was supposed to be like anti-hierarchy at like a structural level, until much later when I actually did more digging, and when I actually listened to like oral histories, or like I read transcripts of oral histories from people who were actually there. Let's play a song. This is music. This one is called Walk Away by Weaves.
I love you.
Welcome back to Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. My name is Leslie.
And I'm Jade.
Okay, we gotta wrap up this show because things are happening. And so today we talked about the Stonewall riots and like we dissected them and stuff. And we promised that we were going to also talk about the launching of a project that we have in mind and that our listeners can also get involved with. So I'm going to talk about the project. This is like really risky. However, we're going to do it. So lots of Pride events are getting canceled due to COVID-19. If they're not getting canceled, then they're getting restricted in some way or they're being moved online, which kind of like for many of us, like removes that physical sense of community. For those of us who celebrate Pride. And so we decided to do kind of like an engagement activity wherein we will be publishing a Google form that listeners to Typically Tuesdays can respond to that ask basically who we are, you know, where you're from, and how are you celebrating Pride this year? And we're talking Pride the event with a capital P, but we're also talking about Pride the concept, the idea of being happy about who you are and etc. We are going to be sharing the responses to this of this Google form on our August 3rd program, Monday, August 3rd. That would have been the Monday right after when Vancouver Pride would have occurred. And we're doing this in hopes that more than two people respond. We don't want it to be like Jade and I being the only two people responding. To access the Google form, you can go on to my Instagram, which is at bonbon.voyage, that's bonbon.voyage, and then you can click on the link in my biography. If you're not able to access Instagram for whatever reason, you can also check out the CJSF website on Tuesday, June 30th, and look for this archived episode of Typically Tuesdays. In the episode description, we will provide a link to the Google form. And then after you fill it out, we ask that you share this episode of Typically Tuesdays and also the Google form with your other queer friends, loved ones, families, and etc. We're hoping to get more than two responses. If you are a listener not from Vancouver, you can still fill out the form. We are aware that not everybody celebrates Pride in August, and that's totally okay. We want to know what you did or what you're going to do anyways. We are welcoming responses from LGBTQ2S+ folks from anywhere. And we ask that if you are a listener who doesn't identify as LGBTQ2S+, that you share Typically Tuesdays, particularly this episode, and you also share the Google form. One final note is that you're welcome to submit your response with a pseudonym. If you're uncomfortable with sharing your name, we know that for many folks, safety and privacy is priority. So please share with us what you're most comfortable. Okay, so to recap, we are collecting responses on a Google form from queer listeners of Typically Tuesdays, LGBTQ2+ identifying listeners of Typically Tuesdays. And asking how they are celebrating Pride with a capital P, the event, and how they are celebrating Pride, lowercase p, the concept, during the COVID-19 era. We will be sharing the responses on our August 3rd program, and you can find the link to the Google form on my Instagram page at bonbonvoyage, that's B-O-N-B-O-N dot V-O-Y-A-G-E, or you can find it on this archived episode of Typically Tuesdays on CJSF's website starting on Tuesday, June 30th. We'll be promoting this project throughout all of July, and then we will be closing the forum on July 31st. That's all I wanted to say. How about that?
That's that on that.
That's
on TT.
That's that on that. I'm excited to be doing this project with you. That wasn't meant for the listeners. That was meant for Jade. I'm excited to be doing this project with you, Jade. I hope that it will
Thank
go
you.
Well. Yeah.
Me too.
I'm also excited to be doing this with our listeners, because they're fine. They're okay. Okay. I think we have to close the program now, because your phone is going to die.
It's at 3%.
Oh my god. Yeah. Okay, it's going to be over. Thank you for listening to Typically Tuesdays. Tune in for more great CJSF programming by listening to stuff like Speak Up on Monday, Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays from 10 to 11. Yeah, and please do check out the Google form. Oh my god, please. My name is Leslie.
I'm Jade.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.